Jesus said at least two things about light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But he also said, you are the light of the world. Our thinking and theme today is around Jesus as the one who speaks to us of being light and salt. And so, I invite you to pray with me. There will be a place in the prayer where you can name a name or a concern. A joy, a thanksgiving, a prayer answered. Those are good too, as well as just things that are hard and hurting. And following that, we'll join in the Lord's Prayer. So let us pray together. Lord, you who are light, you who spoke and said, let there be light, and there was, and you who called everything into existence, us, the world, the sun, the moon, the stars. Oh Lord, we consider them and we wonder how you are aware of us and concerned for us, that you even loved us and visited us and are present with us. Lord, there are some of us who come with great joys today and some who come with sorrows. Some come bearing heavy burdens. We simply come because we know that being in your presence makes our life better. Hear the prayers, the concerns, the joys your people offer just now. Oh Lord, who hears these prayers we speak and the prayers of our hearts, the prayers we cannot even put into words, the deep sighs, you understand and you know and you heal and you comfort and you strengthen. Lord, we pray for all who need some light this morning, for those who are in scary, frightening places, for those who face medical treatments and hospitalizations and recoveries and recuperation, we pray. For those who are snagged in addictions and do more and more of what works less and less, we pray your strength. We pray for those whose work is hard and for those who have no work but seek it. We pray for those who serve in difficult places, for those who serve us and serve their nation and serve the cause of peace and justice around the world. We pray for the people of Egypt and the people for all nations who seek to do better. Lord, we pray for those who struggle to in poverty, for those parents who can't do for their children what they'd like to do. Lord, use us, use your people everywhere of goodwill to be light, to help illumine frightening places. Lord, in your mercy, hear these prayers and the prayers of our hearts. We pray as Jesus taught us to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The Gospels tell us that one day Jesus went up on the side of a mountain. The tradition said it was a slope that sloped down to the Sea of Galilee and sort of a natural amphitheater. And I suppose he sat maybe on a rock or at the bottom of the slope, and then right in front of him were the 12, the apostles, the disciples, the 12. But then there were up the hill all kinds of disciples and followers and seekers and listeners. And he preached this Sermon on the Mount, it's called. It's found in Matthew. It's in the fifth chapter. The Beatitudes begin his speech, his talk, and then in the fifth chapter, 13th verse, he looks at the people and he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but it's thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus taught these people, and I imagine we know there was a fisherman or two there. We know there were some government workers there. There was a tax collector, and probably a few soldiers scattered around, some homemakers, young people, old people, maybe some carpenters or builders, maybe some merchants, traveling salesmen. They were all there. And Jesus says, "You are salt." Well, technically, if you read the Greek and translate it right, what he said was, "Y'all are the salt of the earth." It's a plural pronoun. And in English, we just have one, and "you" can mean one person. You know, he could have been talking to Simon Peter. Just, "You're the salt," or it can be plural. Well, in Greek, it's clear. He's saying, "Y'all, you all, y'all. Y'all are the salt of the earth. You guys, you're the light of the world." I can imagine that Jesus, and the 12, they finished the sermon and they went back to Capernaum for supper, and they're sitting around, and Simon Peter says, in my mind it's always him, and he says, "Good sermon, Jesus. That was great. All that stuff about loving your enemies and praying properly and giving your gifts properly and your heart being pure. Good sermon. How are you going to implement it? How are you going to put legs on this?" And Jesus said, "Well, you saw those people. That's my plan. They're going to implement it." And Simon Peter said, "You got a backup plan?" And Jesus says, "No. No backup plan." You know, the big sweep of the New Testament, from the beginning of the New Testament to the end, is that God wants to get close to His people. And so He becomes incarnate, enfleshed, alive in a human being. Fully alive. So Jesus is God present, so His influence, His love, His presence can be spread to people. But you know, Jesus lived for a few decades in a certain little geographical area, probably never went much more than 100 miles in either direction. And so the Bible, the Gospels say the next step in incarnating that love and sharing that love and spreading the influence of God's presence is that the people will do it. Jesus, he died and he was raised, but he's not alive like he was before in the flesh. But his spirit has been dispersed across time and across space, and it resides now in his people. And Paul will call this the body of Christ in the New Testament letters of Paul. He says, "You are part of the body of Christ. What he means is Christ's body is not here present like it was, but you all are the body of Christ. Somehow you in flesh, you help incarnate now this love of God that was shown. There's some people here named Chris or Christopher. You know what Christopher means? It means Christ carrier. Yeah, Christ carrier or Christ bearer. That's what Christophero means from Latin. You know, Christopher, that's really every one of our implied middle names, our assumed name. We're all Christophers. We're all Christ carriers. We're not Christ fully. We know that. Our spouses or our children will tell us that, remind us that. But nonetheless, Paul says, do you not know that the Spirit of Christ is alive in you? We are in Christ and Christ is in us. You know, that makes a lot of difference on how you do church. There are some churches, not this church, that does church by saying, you know, we really exist for ourselves. We're a club, a spiritual club, to help our spiritual lives, really. Kind of like you join a health club, you know, we're going to work on our spiritual lives. But we're the ones who have enrolled, we're sort of chosen, we step forward, we're elect, we're loved, we're nice people. And we are devoted to improving our souls, getting our spiritual lives straightened out. And the church building then, in that way of thinking, becomes our clubhouse, you know. It's our clubhouse. And we want to have a nice place with nice, good things to sit on and good music and entertainment. We want to have good food. We want people to enjoy being together. And you know, occasionally we'll have some seminars on nice ideas in the Bible. We'll talk about, you know, spiritual things. And if you are a member of that club, you have rights and status and privileges based on how low the number is on your membership card, you know. So if you've been, by virtue of being around, if you've heard the most sermons, sat through, endured the most sermons, you know. You're a higher status, or if you've done more church work, you're a little higher status, you know, in the club. If you sat on more committees, you know. But if we take seriously what Jesus says, y'all are salt. You are light. You are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Well, then the most honored member is really not even a member. The most honored one is the one who shows up for the first time. It's the newcomer. Now, if this is your first time to be here, don't worry, we're not going to be stalky or anything like that. But you know, the church is the only membership organization I know that exists for the sake of those who are not yet members. Yeah. It's for the ones who are not yet members that we exist. I was buying a book this week, and it was in a bookstore that remained nameless, one of the big box bookstores, and so I was ready to check out, had a magazine book, and I went to the counter, and there was nobody at the counter. It was kind of a slow time of the day. But there were a couple of workers running from here to there, and they were working on the greeting cards and stacking the books, and I kind of, you know, nothing. So I kind of, you know, a little bit. Nothing. And I said, I'm ready to check out. And he said, okay, I'll be with you when I finish doing this. And I'm thinking, okay. You're trying not to be a grumpy old man, remember? And even though your family is not here, don't do anything that would embarrass them if they were here. You know, breathe. And it occurs to me, there are a couple of kind of business endeavors. You know, some businesses, it's all about taking care of the merchandise, the stock, And some businesses is about taking care of the customer. And I thought, oh, I was supposed to have that moment so I could think about churches, you know. It's not about taking care of us already here. It's about the newcomer. If we're salt and if we're light, we exist for those who are not yet connected to Christ. And our job is to extend Christ to a needy, hurting world. That's what we exist for. We are not here for ourselves. We're here for others. So what's our method? Well, our method, our strategy, is exactly the same method and strategy that Jesus used. It's loving. In my experience, the only way that any of us ever change inwardly, morally, motivationally, internally, spiritually, it is not through criticism, condemnation, humiliation, critique, punishment. We might do something different, but I don't know that changes us. Creates more resistance in me. I might do what they say, but, you know. Jesus' method for changing people was to love them. He gave them a free space in which they could change. The times I have changed is because of love, because either I love somebody and I wanted to, you know, to do what was good for them. So that changed me. Or I changed because I was loved and I wanted somehow to please, to honor, to accept that one that loved me. So I think it's love that does deep change in our lives. Jesus' strategy for changing people was to love them. He was known as a friend of sinners. And boy, that upset a lot of people. You know, he eats with sinners. He goes in. He goes into the house. He eats with sinners. Jesus did not love people if they changed. He loved people so that they could change. He creates this space so that they can change. You know, the only ones in the gospel who get a harsh judgment from Jesus, a harsh word, is the people who think they own it, that they are entitled, that they are called by God to judge everybody else. That's the one Jesus has trouble with. Everybody else gets a word of good news. Good news. That's what gospel means. You know, I think the poor in our community need our help, but I don't know that they need our lectures or us to fuss at them, but they need us to love them. And then they might be willing to receive what wisdom we have learned about, you know, doing good in life. The hurting in our community do not need us to give them advice, I don't think. They need us to love them. And then they might be open to our advice if they know that we do love them. Broken people, people who have failed, people with addictions, people who have messed up their life, people who have hurt others and people who have hurt themselves, they do not need us to judge them or condemn them. They know it's not working. They got that part. What they need is good news. They know the bad news. And their only chance to change is to be loved by God. And usually that love of God comes to us concretely in another person who loves us. That is why Jesus came and he ate with sinners. He welcomed children. He washed feet. And that's why when he died not cursing those who were tormenting him, but he prayed for them. And that's why he was raised, not coming back looking for vengeance, saying, "Where are the ones that nailed me up there? And where are those guys of mine who left me?" That's not what he comes back doing. He comes back forgiving. He cooks some breakfast. He said, "Y'all come eat breakfast with me." He came, he died, he was raised loving. And he says to these people, "You all are salt, you all are light, you all are a city on a hill." He's saying you are invited to extend the love of Christ by loving as he loved. And guess what? Here's the amazing thing. as we step out to do that, there's this boomerang effect. The love of Christ is deepened in us as we try to give it away to somebody else. New life comes to us on its way to someone else. New life comes to us as we pass it along to others. In our forgiving others, we discover our own forgiveness. In healing others, we're healed. In serving others, we feel more intensely and intimately the love of God in us, for us. It's this boomerang effect of doing the Jesus thing. Some of you have been on mission trips, and some of you have taught the children and taught the youth, and you have made casseroles for people who've been sick, and a lot of you have taken up for weak people or people who are, have been run over in life, who've been treated unfairly in life. And you who made music for the church, and you who've worked at the rescue mission or at the hospice or at the soup kitchen, you, if you talk to any one of you about your work and what you do, before long, you're going to say, or you're going to hear, well, you know, I really get so much more out of it than I give. Yeah. That's how it works. That's that boomerang effect of Christ's love. New life is a byproduct of us seeking to pass it on to others. What a clever way God made to set things up. So we don't exist for ourselves. We're salt for the world. We're light for the world. A city on a hill that people can see where mercy is lived out. We exist to incarnate, to enflesh the love of Jesus, to continue the incarnation of Jesus by which we were loved and changed and saved. And as we pass along Christ to others, we find Him closer to us. So, y'all are the salt of the world. You got to have salt to live. Now, I know the Surgeon General or somebody this last week said, if you're over 51, you only need a half teaspoon. I probably get that much in my Coke or something. But you got to have some to live. And you're the light of the world, he said. You know, light pushes back the scary places. The places where it's unknown, the places that are frightening. And he said, you're a city on a hill. The very last book of the Bible, Kim spoke of it recently, was it envisions the new heaven and the new earth, and in that holy heavenly city come down to earth, the gates of the city are always open. So all may come in, a city on a hill. And as we pass along Christ to others, we find Him closer to us. Christ is in us. We're not Christ, and yet His only way of working is in us and through us and with us. You are Christophers. You are Christ carriers, every one of you. And this week, God will give you an occasion in which you can, by your kindness, your love, your generosity, your patience, your way of being with others, you will have the chance to be a conduit of Christ. A carrier of Christ to others. This week, you'll be all somebody knows about what it means to be a Christian. I'm sorry, kind of scary for me, but he said, you're the salt, you're the light. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord of life, help us to be what you want us to be. You and us in you, bearing your goodness, your peace, your joy, extending your love. In Jesus' name, amen.